Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
This show is brought to you by our friends at Simply Safe. If you have 30 minutes, well, then you don't have to worry about home break-ins ever again. Go to simplysafe.com/Adam. Get all the sensors you need. Customize your system and get a free security camera with simplysafe.com/Adam. All right, we're going to play a strangely compelling game called Is It Problematic? What a time we're living in. Also, I'll do a big-time rant on Larry Elder, and we'll get into some crazy songs from back in the day. First, I'll tell you about Geico. Do you own, do you rent your home? Well, you do one or the other, and then there's your automotive policy. How about you get your bundle working with Geico? Take your homeowner's or your renter's insurance and bundle it up. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around the house. So go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save and how easy it is to save when you get your bundle working at Geico. That is geico.com.
Hey, guys, Jay Cutler. Started a new podcast called Uncut with Jay Cutler. Most of you know me from the NFL, some of you have seen me on Instagram, and some of you know me from the reality TV world. Each week, I'm taking you along with me as we discuss football, trending topics, and whatever's going on in my life each week. I'm bringing along people that are special in my life, former teammates, friends, and some new people that I like and respect. That's what you're supposed to do, right? Podcasting? I think I'm doing this right. Can't wait to get started with you. Go subscribe now. Uncut with Jay Cutler, Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Melissa Rivers. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and we'll play another round of Is It Problematic? And now, hey Lynch, even though it's your birthday, you can't just send fish lyrics as an intro joke. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
And Ball Brian.
Hey, Mike, he's talking about you, you fuck ass.
I don't think Fish has lyrics. They have Who songs and Beatles songs, and then they have never-ending guitar lick jams that go on for 26 minutes. But I don't, I'm not aware of their own lyrics. I'm sure there's some stuff out there.
But they say in the mic, like, get up, you know, dance. Or, you know, that's technically a lyric. It's not a song, right? Put your hands together.
All right, so Melissa Rivers will be here, creator of the modern red carpet event with her mom. People don't remember red carpet, not really a thing.
And started the question that was so taboo, actors and actresses would shudder when they heard it because it was so gauche, and now you have to ask, who are you wearing?
Oh, she started that. All right.
Well, Joan, and Joan and Melissa.
Well, we'll talk to her about that and many other things coming up. First, I was talking to the aforementioned Mike Lynch because when I'm in my car and I have a commute and we have some the stars align, we work on our book. And these are books. This book is Ask an Asshole, and people send in stuff, questions. And we got onto music yesterday. And a couple things we got onto. So the question was, I'll paraphrase, but lots of songs from the 70s about horses and spiders and snakes and muskrats falling in love and dogs, a lot of dog stuff. And I said, yeah. And then I thought about it and I said, nothing about cats. Everyone sung about their dog. And then I kind of realized that many of the 70s songs were kind of about riding the rails and seeing the country and hitting the open road and being a rambling man. You can't ramble with a cat.
Cats ramble alone.
Dog's your companion.
Yeah.
Your dog's your companion. Try to ramble with a cat.
I've
tried this before. I challenge anyone. Try hopping a freight train with a cat.
Oh, you say trying
to let that go for you.
It's like herding cats. It's like rambling with a cat.
Yep. You cannot ramble with a cat. Yeah. You can't see this man's country. There's no, like, you can't get around a group of like-minded folks with a lit trash can at night and no fingers on your gloves. And, oh, by the way.
Go on.
Rich man, poor man, no fingers on the gloves. Like, no fingers on the glove meant you were a hobo.
Yeah.
My entire childhood. Now you're a technician.
That's right.
You're a specialized jet mechanic or something, or a surgeon or something. There's a lot, lots going on with no fingers.
It's chilly in the OR.
Yeah, there's a lot of work going on with no fingers on the gloves. But if you knew someone with no fingers on the gloves, that was hole in the bottom of the shoe.
Yeah.
Type poverty.
It's sort of a great magnum moment, maybe a good magnum moment. Maybe 2 or 3 months ago, I tweeted out of the blue because I had this thought that Stray Cat Strut, one of the best songs about being a cat.
Yep.
The joke being that there's no fucking songs about being a cat. He's like, I get a shoe thrown at me by a middleman, get my dinner from a garbage can. It's like, oh, this is the life of a cat. Puts a song.
Yeah,
you don't bother chasing mice around.
There's Stray Cat Strut.
Cat Scratch Fever.
There's songs about cat life, but like this is, I am a cat, and here's what I go through on a daily basis.
There's a cool for cats. There's a lot of cats as a metaphor for cool cat.
Right, three
like
cool
a
cats.
Man about town. Yeah. But and there was a musical some years later.
Yeah, that's pretty
great movie.
About
terrible.
Cats and a fantastic film. But lots of guys singing about their dogs.
Yeah.
And then I started thinking about a song, which I had been thinking about for a while because I just woke up thinking about it. It's a song that is ubiquitous, that America has all voted on and loves. It has been covered by many folks. But it's a song I've always hated. So I thought I would trot it out. And,
why do you hate the song?
I'll tell you why.
Full disclosure, they told us about this a few minutes ago.
It was made famous by the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, and it's called Mr. Bojangles.
Is this Sammy Davis Jr. by far? The I
knew a man, Bojangles. He covered it.
Oh, I thought he was the one. I thought he was like
later.
The one.
Yes. But I also start thinking like, first off, I just don't like the tempo. Like, I'm not
a 3/4 folk guy.
No, but think about who the real version of this lovable
I'd rather not
scamp is. He danced in worn-out shoes. At some point, because I was talking about dogs, and I remembered Mr. Bojangle traveled with his dog. He sailed to New Orleans. Lots going on in New Orleans back in the day. Spent a lot of time behind bars, too, Mr. Bojangles did.
Talked of life. Laugh, clicked his heels, and stared.
At some point, he's going to talk about his dog.
Said his name, Bojangles, and he danced.
And he traveled with the dog for 15 years.
Oh, boy.
Across
dog.
The sail.
But his dog died, and 20 years after that, he's still grieving.
Oh.
He can't get over the death
of his dog.
Yeah, I got no use for this song.
Shook back his clothes all around.
It's kind of a neither here nor there, but
Mr. Bojangles.
I also. We'll keep this going until he gets to his dog. But
oh, good.
I also took a deep dive on muskrat love as well, because we're trying to figure out pets. There's a song about a hippo.
What?
He wants a hippopotamus for Christmas.
For Christmas, yeah.
The song about muskrats. Nary a cat song.
No.
Cats are really underrepresented.
I never heard of a muskrat until I heard of this song.
Right.
So why a muskrat?
Semi-aquatic creature. We looked it up.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mashara, pick a muskrat out of the lineup.
Yeah.
All right. Here's with his dog, I think.
The dog up and
he
died.
Up and died.
After 15 years.
He's still whining about it.
After 20 years, he still grieves.
Now, hold on. This would you want to hang around with someone 20 years after their dog died? They're still grieving openly about it. Get over your fucking dog.
This guy sounds like he has some emotional and behavioral issues.
20 years?
Yeah.
That's longer than the dog's life.
Yeah. I think it's deeper than the dog's death.
Turn the fucking page, Mr. Bojangles.
Yeah. Take a page from Kenny Rogers.
Mm-hmm. Wait, what'd he do?
You turn the page.
That was Bob Seger.
Oh, is it?
Bob Seger turned the page.
Thank you.
Oh, you turned the page. That's right. Someone ask him, please. All right. So, anyway, that was me saying Mr. Bojangles had a dog. And he grieves.
Yeah.
He still grieves. And also, again, I was thinking this guy in real life, you know.
Yeah, he's the worst.
Guy let out a laugh, the crazy guy, spent some time in and out of the joint, walked around with his dog for 15 years, still grieving now, 20 years on.
I may have a companion piece to this song, specifically to this song. It's this guy, the lovable loser that the family and friends have long since abandoned him, but everybody loves this song, and with good reason. It's a great song. You're familiar with King of the Road, yes?
Mm-hmm.
This is the best thing that ever happened to this guy.
Yeah.
He knows every lock that isn't locked.
Yeah.
That's
he meets
right.
all the little kids, which I don't think is, I think it's frowned upon these days.
Yeah, and he picks up a lot of half-smoked stogies.
Yes.
That's a bygone era.
If there's a room to let 50 cents, he's a happy man.
No pool, no pets. Ain't got no cigarettes, but 2 hours of pushing a broom.
And he couldn't be happier.
I find this one pleasant.
That's what I'm saying.
I find it pleasant,
but
too, but not another guy you want watching your kids while you're out of town.
He does like the kids in all the cities, though.
King of the road.
Oh, yeah. And then the locks that aren't locks.
Car, midnight train.
All right, Brian, do you have a contribution to this?
Yeah,
I gave these guys 8 minutes to figure out a song about somebody who, well, I told Chris 8 minutes ago, that they glorify the guy, but you really wouldn't want this guy in your neighborhood.
Well, of course, the first example that jumped to mind is a very popular song. Everyone knows it. Dawson don't bother playing it. Is Mac the Knife. He's a fucking cold-blooded killer, but that's a finger-popping song. Well, Mac, he's back in town.
Right.
But then I thought of another song by Bobby Darin that I maybe like a little more, a little less known. Great song, finger-popping, but this is a sad song.
Alone in the world. Was poor little Anne.
Poor little Anne was alone in the world.
As sweet a young child.
I don't know this one.
You will.
All right.
Her parents had gone to their final reward.
They're dead.
Final reward.
Leaving their baby behind.
Leaving her behind.
Did you hear this poor little child was only 9 years of age.
Jesus.
When mother and dad went away.
This song kicks.
Still she bravely worked at the one thing she knew.
Uh-oh, no, please don't be.
Her few pennies a day. She made artificial flowers. Artificial flowers. Flowers for ladies of fashion to wear.
She made fake roses for rich people where dead parents are gone.
At age 9.
I could see the song in like Black Mirror, like a Twilight Zone episode.
It's twisted.
Yeah.
All right, Dawson, you have a...
Can I just spoil
entry?
The third
yes.
verse? We won't have to get there if we don't want to. But Annie makes her flowers day and night without any parental supervision or supervision whatsoever. She freezes to death because it's so cold and the windows are open. And that's how we leave the song.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Dawson, you get to the third verse. Like, that's
we'll
how we leave the song. It's like she has, like, icicles on her fingers.
I feel uncomfortable dancing to this.
They found little Annie all covered with ice.
They found her covered
in ice.
Her shears. Yeah, she's making flowers.
All the blossoms she had fashioned by hand. Watered with all her young tears.
Jesus.
Nothing.
There must be a heaven where little Annie can play. In heavenly God.
Okay.
It's a leader of clubhouse for tempo not matching
the
theme.
The subject, yeah, that's the one I pivoted.
All right, very good selection, Dawson.
Yeah, I got one about a guy who is an alcoholic and a stoner, and he's incredibly lazy and most likely racist.
Hmm.
Done by the great Charlie Daniels.
Oh,
it's called Long-Haired Country Boy.
Not one of your own.
Yeah.
People say I'm no good, crazy as a loon. Cause I get stoned in the morning, I get drunk in the afternoon.
Sounds like a pleasant fella.
Kind of like my old blue tick hound. I like to lay around and
blue tick hound.
Another dog.
I ain't got no money.
He's also broke.
But I damn sure got it made. Cause I ain't asking nobody for nothing.
I will not reach out for help.
If I can't get it on my own.
Stick with that pride, buddy.
Yeah.
Here's the big fuck you. Here's the salvo.
If you don't like the way I'm living, you just leave this long-haired country boy alone.
Oh, there you go. All right.
Fun song.
Yeah.
All right. I told you I got into Muskrat Love, who we all know Captain and Tennille are responsible
the great
for.
Captain and Tennille.
But they didn't write that song.
Really?
That song was written and recorded before Captain and Tennille, not a hit.
Kind of like Bojangles.
Yes, and then it got written, and then it got performed by someone famous. Who was that?
America.
America, the band America.
Was it a joke?
I don't, I have
a joke that makes you money, Gina.
It was a minor hit, reached number 67 on the Hot 100.
Wow.
And it's just, it's mind-numbing to know that there was a song about two muskrats falling in love that not only somebody wrote, but somebody recorded, and then two other, by the way, in the
'70s. Notable artists.
Yes.
Yeah, Captain Tennille and America were two of the biggest, and two of the acts of the '70s, and they both covered this muskrat song.
I'm not as familiar with Muskrat Love. Is there a metaphor for some sort of...
Nope.
No, they
it's
give...
It's just about muskrats?
You know, I don't know if we can hear it, but they didn't say that's us, baby.
Want Captain and Tennille or you want America?
Jesus Christ,
boy.
America. I've never heard the America version of that.
Well, strap in right away because the first line's amazing.
Muskrat, muskrat, candlelight, doing the town and doing it right.
There's nobody in the band America that ever just raised their hand when I'm not doing that fucking gay muskrat song. It's insane. We're America.
Muskrat Susie, Muskrat Sam.
To the jitterbug out in Muskrat Land, and they shimmy.
That's an interesting interpretation of it. Hey, Chris.
Yeah, Adam?
Not too shabby, huh, my friend?
This is where the band goes get a drink.
To slow things down a little.
By the way, everybody is somewhere between Captain and Tennille in America, sonically.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So if you don't think you can handle it, I think you can, because you are somewhere in between those two bands.
Muskrat Love.
Oh, wait. Chris, you got a wedding coming up.
Wait, listen to this next line. If you're not sure this is... You thought it was a metaphor. Let's see if you still think that after the next line.
Dripping on bacon, chewing on cheese. Santa says to Susie, honey, would you please...
Okay, the cheese represents...
Nibbling on bacon, chewing on cheese.
She says yes with the kids.
You know, I want to say this about the internet. Everyone looks at it as, oh, it's sped everything up and all the flow of information, everything. It has ground everything to a halt. I spent 20 minutes in traffic talking. I'm like, what is a muskrat? Go look up muskrat. Look, tell me what a muskrat is. It's a semi-aquatic...
like a beaver kind of thing?
Sort of half beaver. I don't even know what it is.
It looks like a nutria.
Yes, yes. And it lives in a lake half the time. Anyway.
They're kind of cute.
All right. So that
was a
that was a remnant from yesterday's conversation. Let's see. So I was thinking about our friend of the show, and hopefully next governor of California, Larry Elder, taking a lot of crap out there because he's pretty effective. He doesn't really back down. He doesn't couch his stuff. He doesn't soft pedal it. He's all, you know, regulation and taxes and schools and school choice and homeless, and he's got a plan. But he's being attacked out there in the media. Now, a couple things. I was saying to Dr. Drew when I was talking to him yesterday, actually we spoke today about Larry Elder, and I'm like, California is like a junkie that needs an intervention. Like,
that's fair.
They're not. There's going to be tears. They're going to fight it. But we just need.
We got the van waiting outside.
Right. We essentially need Johnny Knoxville and the crew to show up at Steve O's apartment and just go, fuck them, we're leaving tonight in the van. And California is like, I don't want to go. Like, this is good. This
Only tomorrow.
Right. No. In the fucking van. Rehab. Full lockdown. Rehab.
I got Lake Tahoe. I got wine country.
You're getting a coat. You're getting like a personal trainer. You're going to be up at Disneyland. 6 every day.
I can stop anytime I want.
No.
You guys
Van. In the van. It's time. It's right now. If we come back in 3 weeks, you're going to OD. Like, we need to do this. So, Larry Elder, I've listened to for a long time. He's just a brass tacks kind of guy. Mm-hmm. But he's a personality that's been on the radio out here and syndicated for 25 years or something now. Anyway, for some reason, this intervention that we're staging here on California, it's not acceptable to like the LA Times or CNN or many other entities. Now, I'm not sure why. Look around. Hmm. Things aren't going well. Or just look at the numbers where we rank in education and homelessness and things like that. Okay. We could use an intervention, but they don't have a lot to go off of with Larry. Now, here's my thing. Larry likes school choice. If Gavin Newsom doesn't like school choice, then articulate why you don't like school choice, but you can't. Mm. So now we're just at the point where this guy's got a bunch of ideas and you just call him racist and sexist. I also, as I was saying, Larry Elder's a black man. I don't really particularly care if he's racist, as long as he implements his policies, because what would those racist policies look like? Mm. Like, it's 2021, it's California. How would you implement a racist policy, black man? I don't know how you do that, but I'll play a few news clips, and then I have some other ideas. First, I don't know. You want the L.A. Times headline?
Sure.
With him, which is awesome. And by the way, which shows there is no we're out of boundaries in terms of keep calling people racist. You have it.
Larry Elder is the black face of white supremacy.
Oh, boy.
You've been warned.
Oh, wow.
All right. So that's the L.A. Times.
Lock it's
not
up your
bad.
Kids.
I have to imagine it.
And,
Adam, so that title was changed. The original article when it was published was Recall Candidate Larry Elder is a Threat to Black Californians. That's like if you go back into the archives of L.A. Times, that was the original title. So that's the new one. Mm.
Well, wow. He's a threat to black Americans in California in 2021, even though he's black and comes from South Central. He went to Crenshaw. Yeah. He was born and raised in South Central. And that's where his bones were made. So I do not know how the black guy who hails from South Central is going to attack black Californians, but evidently the LA Times knows something that we don't know.
Well, and it's also historically we've talked about on the show how the, you know, cis white Karen, you know, comes to the rescue of all of these ethnic groups. I'm wondering what black Californians think of Larry Elder. I don't really particularly care what white writers for LA Times think. I don't know who wrote that.
Here's another interesting kind of mind bender. California, and we always talk about California as on the vanguard of all the progressive things that are going on, cuisine and, you know, high tech, but, you know, or gay marriage or something. We're always the tip of the spear of all the most progressive everythings. California has never had a black governor.
Wow.
So
surprising.
We should have been the first with the black governor, or maybe the third. Zero black governors. It's been over 150 years since we've had governor. In 150 years, I think it was 1849. Was it 1849 that we came up with our first governor here in California? Chris told me. Anyway, I think
since 1849.
1849, our first governor. Mm. No black human beings have ever been the governor of California. So I would look at this as kind of progressive, because isn't it the LA Times and CNN and MSNBC who loves the notion of the first black vice president or woman, color, the first person of color? It's like they never stop touting the first color. All right, well, maybe we'll have the first black governor of California, except for you guys don't give a shit about that, because why?
He's black?
Wrong party.
Wrong party? That's it?
Yeah.
That's it. So that it just the race just ends at the party.
What's the case for him being bad for black Americans? Is it
there's no he speaks a lot of truths about black America and they don't like that. But anyway, no, they don't make their case. They just say he's going to be bad. Like later on, so I was watching. There's Joy Reid has a great clip on MSNBC about. And again, I don't know. He's a black man who thinks he has better ideas than Gavin Newsom, who arguably has horrible ideas. So I don't know why MSNBC needs to get into the fray, but go ahead and attack his ideas.
Yeah.
All right. Here's I'll play a clip of that.
It's ironic. This is a black man. And it just goes to show you that it is true that even people of color can be influenced by white supremacist narratives and fall victim to it. Right.
No, not right.
I mean, say what you want about Larry Elder. I imagine he's thinking for himself. I don't imagine he's fallen victim
to
white supremacist
to outside
narratives.
Influences. I believe he believes whatever he believes.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I don't think he's been
he believes
taken over, co-opted.
100% of what he believes. We don't have the screen working up here, Max Zapata.
And that's pretty insulting to say if you're a black man and you believe this, somebody's in your ear. You couldn't possibly have come up with this idea.
Insulting. It's racist, actually, is what it is. It's racist is what it is, actually. So he's fallen prey to white supremacist culture beliefs or whatever it is. Also, is less regulation or getting a desalinization for the Pacific Ocean or water storage or forestry? These are white supremacists. That's his platform.
He's certainly an outlier, right, in terms of like a guy like him who believes and so fervently and says the things he does. But like that's not a reason to say like, oh, he's been co-opted or these are the views of someone who's gotten infiltrated his mind.
He's a black guy who has different opinions than you.
Exactly.
That doesn't mean he's been co-opted and it doesn't mean he's a white supremacist in a black person's body.
Yes. And you know how like with Newsom and look, I know what it's like to come from a broken home and, you know, single mother, you know how he
lead counsel for Getty Oil, dad was.
And if that is something that's so important that we're supposed to put so much stock into, why doesn't anyone care where Larry Elder came from?
Because they don't want him elected, and it's hard to argue with where he came from because he came from a just hardworking family in South Central and went to Crenshaw High. But I'll play you one from Jim Acosta, who also does not want Larry Elder elected. Again, Not sure why you do some news, Jim Acosta. This ain't news. But listen, so he has Daryl Issa on there, and he's going to take him to task because Larry Elder, who does a nightly radio show in 2017, made a joke. And we can listen what the joke is, and then we'll see Jim Acosta's reaction.
I want to ask you about the recall election to replace the California governor there, Gavin Newsom. Right now, the Republican frontrunner is an outspoken talk show host named Larry Elder. He's made a number of disparaging remarks about women. I want you to listen to this. Let me ask you about this on the other side.
When you look at all these women that have marched, something like 2 million women, Donald Trump has probably gotten more obese women off the couch and in the streets working out than Michelle Obama did in 8 years.
Do you think Larry Elder should be the next governor of California?
I think Larry Elder, with tens of thousands of hours on the air, entertaining and thought-provoking, if that's the
most... That's not entertaining. That's disgusting. What he just said is disgusting.
Oh, shut up, you homo, Jim Acosta. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. Yeah. First off, he's doing a radio show. Secondly, let's distill down what he's saying. He's saying Trump has pissed off people enough to get the fat chicks off the sofa and marching in the street. That's good exercise for them. Jim Acosta's disgusted. Jim Acosta, are you disgusted at a joke that a radio show host told 4 years ago? You're disgusted?
That too. Like, it's not really something to get worked up about.
It's not even, by the way, it's one of those jokes that doesn't, when you really break it down, is sort of saying, Trump motivated people who wouldn't be motivated to exercise, essentially, by hitting the street.
Trump motivated people who wouldn't be motivated in general.
That's
and one
true.
Of the ways was protesting.
All right, Jim Acosta's disgusted. By the way, I've talked to Doc. There's a big article. I'll get into it next week. But it's a very interesting article that Drew told me. I've been talking about this for a long time. The article's gynofascism, but it's essentially...
I love that band.
Tell me more.
It's a shift from dude think to chick think. See, Jim Acosta thinks like a bitch, and that's why he says this, because Larry Elder is talking about roads and schools and water and forestry and regulation and taxes, and these guys are talking about making jokes or not liking. So their whole focus on, would you want a guy who doesn't like women? Who cares? Who gives two shits? By the way... Is Gavin Newsom sort of beacon of virtue? I don't know what he fucking thinks about women. Yeah. I'm not interested. I don't care what he thinks about blacks or Hispanics. Right. I want policy. It's policy. It's not feelings. We shifted to this. Well, but you really want a guy like that running this?
I think most people don't want someone in office who doesn't like women. That said, this half-assed joke does not indicate someone who doesn't like women.
Well, it's a horrible example. You're not making your point by going, is this who you'd want the governor of California, number one? But then the real question is, like, Jim Acosta, when did you get a dog in this fight? Right. Like, why are you so beaked up
over this? It's not entertaining. It's not funny.
It's disgusting. Right. He said it was disgusting. Disgusting? How delicate is Jim Acosta's sensibilities that a radio show host doesn't makes a fat chick joke about marching? Please. Yeah. Listen, if you don't like Larry Elder, you are free to attack his policies. This notion of, we don't think he likes women and we don't think he likes black people, even though there's no policy attached to that, is nothing but farting into the fucking wind. So go get some meat, put it on your fucking bone, or shut the fuck up. We want policy change. Go attack his policy. But they're never about policy, which is a weird thing, which is, we're talking about governing a huge state. Why isn't it all policy? Why are we speculating on what a black man thinks of black people who's never done anything to black people?
Because we're babies. That's what little kids do.
Chick think, baby.
Gynofascism.
Gynofascism.
I don't even want to look that up. I'm scared.
It's a very interesting article.
Shit.
Subcategory on you porn.
I will take a deep dive into that in an upcoming show. But from the guy who's been, in 50 years, we'll all be chicks. And I've been bending Drew's ear about this subject for a long time. Like, when did we start talking? And you guys do. I've been saying, like, why are we talking about feelings all the time? Let's talk about a plan. What do we talk about? How this feels, how everything feels. We're sliding into gynofascism.
Oh, Jesus.
We'll put the article up, I think, but we can look into it. It's well written and very very interesting.
I'd be very interested what Dr. Drew had to say about that, because remember what he said to you years ago, which is you want to go toward the maternal, toward the matriarchy, because it's elevated.
I talked to him today. He apologized.
Oh my God, this is breaking.
I was wrong.
Because Susan told him to.
Well, if you think about it. So my whole thing is, could it go any other way? You get more and more women involved with politics.
Oh,
they
no.
think differently
well,
than men.
Sure.
And also, there's a lot of men. Look, this isn't a slight on the women. The mayor of L.A. is a chick. His name is Eric Garcetti. He is a woman. He thinks he has a woman. General Patton thought like a dude. Eric Garcetti thinks like a chick. That's who it is. And so everything's going to be feelings-based, but feelings-based isn't good for policy.
Well, I can give you some scientific business insight, whether you want to run with it or not. It's up to you. But, like, remember when Christy would come in and talk about commercials and whatever, and her, you know, years of research in that industry has said that if you can make an emotional connection,
right,
between a product or a service and a customer, whatever that emotional connection is, you're gonna have a customer, you have a customer longer, you have a more loyal customer, you're going to sell more of whatever to that customer. Hence Subaru. Like, you could go on and on about how torque ratios, et cetera, et cetera, miles per gallon, et cetera, et cetera. You make that emotional connection, people are going to be on board the Subaru brand.
My Subaru is powered by puppy kisses.
That's what I'm saying. The extension into politics, into whatever, is just a natural extension.
It is absolutely where we're heading. The problem is the good vibes
sometimes
aren't
always
good for policy.
That doesn't always match. Yeah.
That's the problem. And I do look, it's kind of behind the whole homeless thing, which is don't tear those people. They have problems. You know, they've come here. They leave. You know, it's like you got to be a hard ass. You got to be Coach Woody Hayes. You know what I mean? You have to like get in there and blow the whistle and roust them and wake them up.
Well, and just to bring this full circle, you know, you say you have a kid with some serious drug problem. Is the right thing to do to enable them until they kill themselves? Or do you say, this is tough love. I do not want you to live like this. This is not good for you.
Well, it's a great example. So if you had a husband, wife, average husband, wife, and they have the 19-year-old junkie kid, you know, the husband is saying you can sleep on the couch as long as you're sober, but if you're not sober, you got to enter or you got to get out or whatever. And the mom is going, leave him alone, let him sleep it off. You know, so that's the tendencies. I mean, that's the wiring. All right. Let me tell you about Simply Safe. The founders, Chad and Eleanor Lawrence, designed their first security system in their kitchen because their friend's home was broken into. I think on the campus of Harvard, Yale, an Ivy League school. That's what I remember talking to them about. Anyway, making people feel safe is what Simply Safe's been doing since that moment 15 years ago. Passion for protection. It drives engineering in every detail of customer interaction. Simply Safe has highly trained security experts ready whenever you need them during a fire, burglary, medical emergency, or just setting up the system. And my listeners save 20% and get their first month free, I should say, when you sign up for interactive monitoring service. So visit simplysafe.com. There's two I's in there. Simplysafe.com/Adam to customize your system and start protecting your home and family. That is simplysafe.com/Adam. All right. We'll play the Is It Problematic game right after this. Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Right now on the Adam Carolla Show.
How should the Department of Defense think about critical race theory?
The fabric of America.
Minneapolis on fire.
This is getting serious.
It's fraying.
Oh my goodness.
A nation on edge.
And the confrontation got ugly.
This is how erratic it's become.
Racism, extreme versions of individualism and capitalism, white supremacy.
It's time to play Problematic.
All right, so here's the rules of the game. I'm going to give you three topics, and you guys are going to decide which one is now problematic.
Okay.
French food, the Louvre Museum, or the Eiffel Tower?
I can see any of these being problematic because the French, you know, colonialism, they were a super global superpower for, you know, long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Conquered many lands.
Boy.
It has to be, in my opinion, it has to be one of the landmarks. It has to be have some history that we're now just unearthing, as Brian would say.
So you're going with the Louvre?
Let's go with the Eiffel Tower.
You guys been to the Louvre?
No, I've never been to Paris.
No.
You've been to the Eiffel Tower? The Eiffel Tower is scary.
Why?
It was built 131 years ago or something. And you take this elevator up and it's like it feels too open. I'm not a faint of heart kind of guy, but I remember going up to the top. It's magnificent. It's amazing. It's really cool. But you feel it's not like going up to the penthouse of a skyscraper. Right. It has a feeling of, or also, I actually think I remember going there not that long after 9/11, and I remember just going, I hate the idea of being at the very top of this landmark that ISIS and Al-Qaeda would love to blow up.
Yeah.
The Louvre is interesting.
I'm actually, before you say anything else, I'm changing my answer to the Louvre because there's so much stuff inside the Louvre. There has to be a problematic piece of art in the Louvre.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking of that with the Louvre as Louvre. Well.
The Louvre.
And also, I don't know what year the Louvre was, but it was like, it's a big crystal pyramid that they probably thought was cool at the time, and now it's kind of sticks out. Mm. Kind of weird architecture. I'll go the Louvre. Damn. You got the Louvre? What do you
got? I do too, because I'm going to guess specifically is because they've excluded, over the years, they've excluded art from underrepresented, factions.
Mm-hmm.
Law professor Matilda Cohen published the following in her paper. The whiteness of French food.
Oh!
French food is fundamental to French identity. So too is the denial of structural racism and racial identity. Both tenets are central to the nation's self-definition, making them difficult, yet all the more important to think about together.
I don't get it.
The article purports to identify a form of French food whiteness. That is, the use of food and eating practices to reinforce whiteness as the dominant racial identity. To do so, it develops four case studies.
Delicious.
Of how law elevates a fiction of homogenous French white food, French/white food, as superior and normative at the expense of alternative ways of eating and their eaters. The law of geographical indications, school lunches, citizenship, and cultural heritage.
I agree. Larry Elder should not be the president.
Okay, question. I don't love French food, and I'm certainly no like Francophile when it comes to their food. So, Brian, you may know this better.
Go on.
But isn't a lot of French food based on like peasant, like rustic food? No. Like, what could you find in the countryside when you were living there? Potatoes, grains, yes. Vegetables.
When you're talking about French cuisine, that's like the height, you know, the French Laundry, heightened, right. Elevated, you know, this and that. But like,
French food.
Like
very
ratatouille
basic.
Is as they say in the film, it's a peasant dish.
Yeah.
Well, see, this is our problem, is we're trying to justify or rationalize something that defies all reason and logic. Did you say she was a professor somewhere?
She is a law professor. It doesn't say UConn.
I feel like at some point we need to strip you of your rank and bust you down. Like if this is really if this idea is bouncing around in that thin skull of yours, I don't know if I want you instructing students. There's something you need to be recalibrated. Also, if somebody's going to write a loony article about, how about this? Mara said it's the woman's job to tell the guy not to leave the house in the ostrich skin cowboy boots.
Yeah.
I'll say it's a two-way street. Loony broads who want to write an article about how an easel is racist or a trash can lid or French cuisine or Owens Corning fiberglass insulation is racist. If you want to do that, bounce it off your partner. Mm-hmm. And if he can't figure out what you're talking about,
put it back in the file for later.
Put it back in the file. Like if you just go, pneumatic door closers, racist, go. And I go... they have them in prisons on like some doors. Like if you're getting no answers, then put it back.
Move on.
Yeah, I mean treat it like a stand-up comedian with a premise.
Right.
You know, if you lay out some premise, you know, why can't you get any sushi in Los Angeles? And they go,
you can't.
I had sushi last night. Like if you're there, then abandon the premise.
Discard.
Move on. All right. Sorry, Dawson. We're all 0-for-1.
Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
Alien versus Predator.
Mm.
Or Indiana Jones.
Mm. Well, oh, boy.
I mean,
which Indiana Jones?
There's one obvious. I'm going to go Indiana Jones because he pilfered idols and things from indigenous peoples. I mean, that was their idol. That was their ark or their whatever, their covenant.
Yeah, I'm going with Indiana Jones for a different reason. First of all, I thought Predator – never mind. Indiana Jones because there's a lot of – there's Short Round, which I don't think has aged well, the little boy. Yeah. There's, you know, how disgusting these people are. They're eating monkey brains and, you know, exploiting these sort of ethnic cultures that – do or don't exist. I'm going
Travels
to
Indiana foreign
Jones.
Lands and steals their shit.
Yeah. Huh.
Predator had dreads.
That's
true.
That's yep.
So that's cultural appropriation from a different galaxy,
that's
right?
True, yeah, that's possible. Yeah.
Wasn't the guy who played Predator a black man?
Kevin Baker Hall, maybe?
Wow, Brian.
I think.
The guy who was the guy from Predator may have been
Kevin Peter Hall.
Was he black? Because now it's really problematic.
Yes, he was black.
Do you know who was originally
with dreads? Would they put dreads on him if he wasn't?
Do you know who was originally cast as the Predator? And they actually shot a couple scenes like this isn't working.
Anthony Michael Hall.
You're not far off. Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Wow.
He's a little man, and that didn't really work with with the Predator.
So the Predator guy was like a big black bodybuilder or something, I guess.
I guess.
All right.
What you got?
Oh, I've seen all the Fast and Furious, and
you don't say
really racist.
They go to lands. They go to other lands, and the drug lords are always of a certain persuasion.
Got it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And rarely... The blue eyes, not really the heavies.
They're not the problem.
They're not the drug
Charlize
runners.
Might I point out? Jason Statham, might I point out?
Yeah, that's all. Yeah, right. Oh, man. So what is Predator versus Alien doing on there? And then Indiana Jones. That kind of feels layup-y. Where'd you guys both go? Indiana Jones. I'm going to say Alien versus Predator just to say something different.
Brock University's Professor Tamari Katosa published the following. Ridley Scott's Alien franchise, with its vicious and endlessly breeding carbon black alien mother,
he is black,
came at the height of neoliberal experiment, and in the U.S. especially an all-out assault on black people. According to a white supremacist 1920 book, The Rising Tide of Color, says a black woman's sexual reproduction is imagined to signal the genetic extinction of the white republic.
It's a bit of a stretch when it comes to Alien.
She goes on to say that
we don't get a pass because it's an alien. Well, because someone of this earth created it, I guess.
Goes on to say, in the context of racially charged white anxieties about immigration and social order.
Wow.
The historical demonization of black men is a trope, a stereotype that easily maps into cinematic typecasting. The 1987 Hollywood film that launched the Predator franchise fits this pattern. Predator depicted a black, dreadlocked, super large and super virile male in a way that converged white art with white political history.
You kill Carl Weathers.
Hollywood and the media paint black people as sexualized,
cut his arm off,
superhuman monstrosities, and that this message meshes with racialized political discourse.
You know what I would say if I was a professor and someone asked me about Alien versus Predator? I've never seen it, I don't know about it, and I'm not dignifying that with an answer.
Have you seen an alien movie?
Yes.
Okay.
And I love it. Good. But I'm saying, like, I wouldn't spend the time on a movie that nobody's talking about to make a point.
If I was the dean of this college, I'd be like, I read your article. I hope you fucking wrote that on a weekend. I hope that... Had you punched in to the college?
Were you writing papers?
Were you in your office?
During office hours? Was I paying you essentially to write this mind-bending nonsense, somehow trying to connect dots that could never be connected? All right. Again, I would bust her down to a janitor. Now we're looking at the black man with the head off.
Less terrifying.
Yeah. I would not want her instructing my kid, but okay. Here, that's why you have to play the game.
Yeah. Look at you.
Fireworks, fire pits, or fire extinguishers.
Ooh. I have a guess, but it's based on nothing. You know what? No, it's not based on nothing. I say unequivocally fireworks because they represent war. Because that's why we have them on 4th of July. That's what I'm going to say.
I'm going to guess, as some sort of celebration of colonialism, I was going to go fireworks too.
But think about the fire extinguisher. I mean, it essentially just turns everyone white. You know what I mean? It
shoots
out a giant
gentrification
cloud of white. Like if you put if you took Kanye West and hit him with a fire extinguisher,
yes,
he would look like Vin Scully
Thought about that.
It's been said many
times. Really,
okay, I didn't realize that.
Really,
thank
point.
You.
So it shoots out a cloud of whiteness in order to turn everyone around it white and sometimes put out fires.
In the name of safety, I'm making air quotes.
Yeah.
Fire. Now, obviously, the fireworks, Chinese, something. Yeah. We're usurping their culture.
Yeah.
Hmm. Fireworks. A firework seems obvious, but you can't play the game.
Yeah, no. In that mode. So far, it's been working for you.
Yeah, we've been burned already.
And fire pit, speaking of getting burned, can't be fire pit, right?
Can't it?
All right, I'm going to say fireworks.
A study in the National Geographic claimed pollutant levels during fireworks celebrations were highest in communities of lower socioeconomic status.
Who like fireworks? Woo!
The apparent problem is with the pollution.
Mm-hmm.
Health risks for communities already disproportionately burdened by air pollution, urban ones with higher rates of asthma, more older residents, and a greater percentage of children under 10. These are the areas tended to have more Black and Hispanic residents than those with less 4th of July air pollution.
But just to be clear, kind of like Brian was alluding to, it's not like the city is setting up a giant fireworks show in the middle of the neighborhood.
These are unregulated to a certain extent.
Yes, you drive down
the
110 on the 4th of July about 9:30 in the evening, and you will see a small, medium-sized fireworks, neighborhood fireworks, self-imposed neighborhood fireworks show.
I've done that. I drove on the 405, this is 4 or 5 years ago, the 405 north from Balboa to West LA, drove through Hawthorne, Carson. Mm. There were a lot of impromptu fireworks just off the highway, maybe 100 yards away.
Exact same thing when you drive through Bel Air. Yeah. Exactly.
Someone
needs to explain to the residents of those neighborhoods what they're doing to themselves. So we look forward to that. Maybe Larry Elder isn't going to put an end to that. Maybe that's part of the racism.
His platform is more fireworks than their cities.
All right. Doctor Who, Flash Gordon,
who?
Or Battlestar Galactica?
I couldn't know less about these things.
Mm. Doctor Who is one of those BBC things that everyone loves. I don't know if they love it or they just say they love it.
Is it
the Radiohead of TV shows?
Possibly.
Where no one sits around and listens to Radiohead. Oh, yeah, Doctor Who. Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
I think from what I've seen peripherally is they change Doctor Who's all the time, like you change a James Bond. And I think there might be some diversity there. So I feel like Doctor Who's okay. Like maybe it's a woman, maybe it's a Black guy.
It's also BBC. They shouldn't be attacking the BBC. They like the BBC.
And don't people love Battlestar Galactica?
I'm going to go on a limb and say Fondly loves both those things.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably true. I'm going to say, is that Flash Gordon? Okay.
That's the one I'm going to eliminate because it's not timely. The other two are like kind of now.
Like Alien versus Predator?
That's a good point. That's a really good point. I'll go Galactica based off nothing.
Take who?
All right, I'll go Doctor Who.
Ben Child of The Guardian published, "It is not hard to pinpoint the mindset that inspired the creation of Flash Gordon's extraterrestrial nemesis, Ming the Merciless."
Yeah, that's true. Ming the Merciless is defensive.
"When the scariest thing you can imagine invading the Earth is an ornately dressed gentleman of apparent East Asian extraction."
Is that Christopher Plummer?
I know. That's what I was going to say.
"It's clear you're not frightened of aliens at all. Ming, along with Fu Manchu and later Mandarin comic book supervillain, are classic examples of yellow peril."
I kind of agree with this writer.
Well, just in the fact that you're trying to make someone ethnicity.
This doesn't hold up.
Well, this is why the Babylon Bee has their work cut out for them, because a few years ago, these all would have been Babylon Bee stories, but these are real stories now. So. Yeah. All right, are we all knotted up? What's the score here?
Adam and Gina are tied. Brian has one.
All right, let's write down this last answer.
Shakespeare, Jane Austen, or Walt Whitman?
All right, I got mine.
I know Shakespeare's been problematic for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Walt Whitman looks like Gabby Hayes.
Yeah, he does. All right. You guys locked in? I'm going Shakespeare.
Well, I'm out of it and out of a pen, so I'll just go Walt Whitman.
Yeah, Othello, Merchant of Venice. We got Shylock, the villain Jew. That's true. We've got the Moors. I'm going Shakespeare.
Jane Austen's tea drinking will be subjugated to historical interrogation over its slavery links, the director of a museum dedicated to the author has said. Staff at the museum are now reevaluating Jane Austen's place in Regency-era colonialism in the wake of the Black Lives Matter protests. The Pride and Prejudice author's links to slavery through her father, Reverend George Austen, at one time the trustee of the Antigua sugar plantation, will be highlighted in future displays of the property.
He's called the villain Jew. Nobody? Nothing? Okay.
Jews don't count as an endangered species.
Okay. I think we still need a tiebreaker.
Yeah. Do we have a tiebreaker?
We do.
All right.
Bob Vila or Chip and Joanna Gaines?
Oh, boy.
Did
Chip and Joanna Gaines do like home improvement shows?
Yeah.
Flip or Flop? Or some one of those fucking...
You've seen their faces all over Target. They have all these lines of home goods and stuff.
Love it or leave it or some bullshit.
Live it or flip it. Bob Vila, this old house. God, I may defer to you. I have no clue.
What could Bob Vila have done in his old age?
Lately.
I'm trying to infiltrate the mind of the maniacs that composed this.
The faceless horror.
And I'm going to go the Gaines couple because I feel like maybe they added Bob Vila after they got into trouble, just like Fire Pit got added on after Fireworks.
I'm glad you said that. I think it's actually, now that we've played this game a little bit, it's easier to go back in history because at that time something was acceptable that isn't acceptable now. Did he only work on white people's houses? Mm.
I hope it's Bob Vila just so I can hear the explanation, but I'm going with the Gaines.
All right,
couple.
I'll go Bob Vila.
Well, there could be an ageist issue with this old house.
Mm-hmm.
But Chip and Joanna Gaines made their first public comments Wednesday, speaking out to the Hollywood Reporter about accusations that say they claim they are anti-LGBTQ and racist.
Oh, boy.
The response comes after a report in the Dallas Morning News revealed that the Gaineses contributed to Chip's sister in her bid for the school board. And she said she is a critical race theory opponent. Said the district was trying to teach the controversial curriculum.
Uh-huh.
The district told the news that critical race theory is not part of this curriculum. So since they donated to his sister.
Wow.
Does one need to do an interview about... I mean, if you're the... Who the reporter, a Hollywood reporter? Or, well, I don't know what the... What the periodical was, but does one go, we need to reach out for comment to someone who contributed to their sister's run for school board?
I guess you're supposed to.
In this day and age.
Jesus.
That's a stretch, man. It's a wide net these days.
A little embarrassing.
Christ. All right.
I guess you win?
Yeah, I win. What do you mean, question mark?
If you enjoyed
point.
It.
I mean, do any of us really
racist.
Win?
Yes, me. Taking a victory lap in my mind right now, babe. All right. Melissa Rivers is out there. We'll bring her in a second. First, I'll tell you about this. Sleeper, modern fantasy experience designed to connect people over sport with integrated chat and a sleek interface. Sleeper users talk more to their league mates. Fantasy, NFL, NBA, even LCS League of Legends. Free, zero ads, and a genuinely premium experience. Total control over your fantasy draft and season. Redraft, Dynasty, Best Ball, Sleeper. Play fantasy sports your way. Fastest growing fantasy platform. Millions of users built almost entirely on word of mouth. Brian is knee deep in Sleeper, especially with the drafts all coming up here in the next few weeks. It's available at the App Store, Google Play, or on your desktop. Download the Sleeper app and start playing today. That is Sleeper. And when's the kickoff? I ask this all the time. It's got to be
Thursday after Labor Day.
Thursday after Labor Day.
So is that the 9th?
Yeah, I guess. Something like that.
So it's in a couple of weeks.
Oh, my God. You know, football season, because we kind of took last year off. I mean, in the sense that the stadiums were empty and I couldn't get together with the boys. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of, it's like it took.
It coincided with some of the worst of COVID, for sure.
Yes. It was the COVID, everyone was in the grips of COVID fever and couldn't get. And to me, the best part of the season is when it starts to cool down, because it always goes out like a line around here. Like, you know, it's always like the middle of September, and you're like, God damn, it's 107 degrees outside. Like, what the fuck? It's September. You know, come on now. Just to get that first cool weekend, and then the games are on, and that is the best. All right, Melissa Rivers is out there. We'll bring her in, and we'll talk to her right after this.